I am 24 years old. I just turned 24 on February 26th. I am married to Alicia, like you saw in those photos. We've been married for almost a year now, like about 10 months now. And things are going great. I mean, life is good. I have a wonderful family. I have my mom here with me and my stepdad, Tom. And growing up, I had mom and dad and five of us siblings all together, and I was a middle child, so you can kind of imagine what that was like and where I kind of got my quirkiness from. So growing up in a family like that was great. I grew up in a Christian household. We went to a church that was literally on wheels. It was at World on Wheels, the skating rink, the rollerblade, the World on Wheels, yeah. We went there and it was amazing. It was just like the whole wall or whatever would just fold down and then boom, you roll out the carpet and you got church there. And what I always remember about it was so great because we'd roll down those carpets and then we would set up chairs. My mom was a drummer, so if you need a drummer, talk to my mom afterwards. So she was rocking on the drums. So us kids would always go early and we'd always have the privilege of going early with my mom to church and setting up chairs. Us kids would set up chairs, love it, and every once in a while if we had a little free time, we'd put on some roller skates and ride in between the alleys right before church started and sometimes afterwards too. So it was just a great experience growing up in that kind of a household. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, but we knew how to laugh and we knew how to have a good time, and that was the important thing for us. So I grew up in a Christian home, great church, it was amazing. I thought my life was pretty normal. I mean, I had a mom. I knew about Jesus. Well, so or whatever. When you're a kid, you always know the Bible stories, but you never truly kind of walk the walk or, you know, kind of phase into the I'm walking alongside with Jesus. So I knew about God. I loved God. He was a good guy and everything. And that's how far I got. I had a mom and a dad and siblings that I pretty much liked and respected. I mean, my older brother and older sister I got along with great. My younger siblings, it was just like, you're a little too young for me, and I don't know, they were just kind of immature at the time, I thought, so I was just like, picked on them all the time, and it wasn't really good news. But most of my family is married now. My mom has married Tom, and my older brother is married with kids. My older sister, Kayla, she is married. My younger sister, Jennifer, she is newlywed too, and James, we're just waiting on him. He's just kind of the slacker in the family, so we're waiting for him to get married. Just kidding, he's a great kid, and he's an awesome brother. So as I grew up, I learned to just respect family and respect the closeness of family and really hold on tight to family too, because I valued how precious it was to me. My dad growing up though, I had very much so a broken relationship with my father growing up. He didn't really treat us with like the greatest respect. He verbally abused us all the time. He sometimes physically abused us. And my mom, I remember on numerous occasions, just like hiding underneath the little desk or whatever, playing with my toys, and then just hearing my dad whip around my mom a little bit. And sorry. Yeah. Together. And yeah, I just remember that part, and it tore me up. It tore me up as a kid, and it tore me up that I was too little to defend my mom at that point. And sorry. I love my mom, so it's just hard to see her get hurt sometimes. So along with just being physically and verbally abusive to us kids, it just tore me down so much where I found myself in middle school a lot like some of the kids I see at Young Life. And I say that because I was broken myself. And I saw, like, my dad just didn't really treat me with respect and just always said, hey, you know what, you're getting a little chubby in the midsection, which I was, and now that I'm married, I'm kind of putting it back on again. So it's kind of coming true again. But food is good, so. When I was in middle school, I was a really shy kid. I was really shy. I didn't really hang out with too many people. I just was very much so the shy kid growing up, and I just didn't want to make myself vulnerable again to anything that might hurt me. So I didn't really let any of my friends in, and I just tried to be the person on the side and just, you know, just stayed away from everything that might be able to hurt me. So that was my middle school growing up. And during that point, when I transitioned into high school, I kind of went overboard. I was the guy in ninth grade who wore purple pants, those little 50s hats or whatever, you know, like the round thing with a rim, and suspenders. So, and nothing ever matched, by the way, and I always had Velcro shoes on that I thought was just the coolest thing ever, but it wasn't. So I was just went to the extreme, and I was just like a super goofball, and later that year, finally, like halfway through the year, I finally found my medium, if you call this a medium, it's what I am today. So I found my range, and I tried to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, just like any of you guys would have done around that age too. So I remember filtering in my head a lot of different things. I'm like, oh, maybe I should join the Marines. Well, I kind of want to be a farmer. I kind of want to be a nurse. I kind of want to work in law enforcement and be like out there on the roads just protecting people, just because what I've been through is just like I wanted to help people and not hurt them. So I really wanted a job that would allow me to do that. And during that time in high school, I was involved a lot in Young Life. I first went to Young Life when I was a sophomore. I was invited by one of my friends, my really good friends, Dan, and he invited me along with. I'm like, okay, I'll come, because I trusted him, and I knew he wasn't going to hurt me or do any of that stuff. So I went around that time to Young Life, and I thought it was just the greatest thing ever. I mean, I went to Young Life, and it was just a place where I could be free, and a place where I just could open up, and a place where people didn't judge me for being weird, because the leaders were way more weird than I could ever be, where they were just up there doing crazy skits and everything. Kendall was one of my leaders, so it was true, if you all know Kendall. So it was just awesome, a place where kids could come and be kids, and a place where barriers were broken down and that everybody from different ends of the spectrum could come and just hang out with each other and just really have a good time all together. In ninth grade, though, my life kind of took a turn. It took a really steep dive when my mom walked us into her bedroom and told us that my dad was gay and that he was cheating on my mom for basically ever, and that he just wanted to get out. He didn't want to work on it anymore, and he just wanted to leave the family. So that was a tough time for me. So he actually moved out, and I thought it was just going to be the hardest thing ever. And one of the hardest things for me was I knew my younger siblings, they were kind of struggling around that time with, some of them were just struggling with depression and that sort. So we all thought it'd be wise that, you know what, this wouldn't be good at this point, just because for them to hear this, it just would be not good, chaotic, and it would just tear them apart. So what we did is my mom graciously said, you know what, you need to talk about this with someone. Talk to me, talk to grandpa, talk to someone, get it out. But being a shy kid that I was, I knew that was great advice, but I never took it. I never talked to anyone until my senior year about what happened or what transpired with my dad. So leading into that, Young Life just changed my life. I mean, it was a place where I could forget, about all those worries, where I could forget about not being good enough, because in this atmosphere with like the leaders and the great leaders, they showed me and they walked alongside me and like, you know what, you do matter. You matter to me. And it was just the greatest thing ever. And I can't even explain like how great club is or like what that is even like. So I'm just going to do a little demonstration. I'm going to bring club to you, and I am going to pick you guys randomly, and I hope that you will come up here and just participate. So Mark here is going to help me out a little bit. So he is going to come up here. I'm just going to pick some people. All right. Well, Mom, I already picked on you a little bit, so you can come up here. Paul, why don't you get up here? Larry? You're welcome. I knew you shouldn't have never come, right? So a lot of times in Young Life, you guys could just stand on the stage right over here, line up. That would be great. So a lot of times in Young Life, what we do is we do mixers, games, relays, kid skits, and leader skits. So what we do for all these games is we try to break down barriers. We try to knock it out, like just let people become just a kid again. So what we do with that, though, is we're never, like, totally normal when it comes to skits. So what we do sometimes is we kind of get into character a little bit. So we kind of wear goofy outfits, which I couldn't wear everything today, but I did bring a mustache. So if you guys ever heard of Miracle Girl, this is great. Oh, I know you do. So we usually, like, get all dressed up, goofy, to make the kids feel a little bit better about, you know, coming up on stage. So is this helping a little bit? And usually we have, he's like, no, it isn't. And usually we'll, like, add in just a crazy little accent, like, hello, my name is Leonardo. I am here to talk to you a little about how to get yourself active and out there. So we would use accents, just a little something like that. So Mark already knows the skit a little bit. Look at my mustache is falling off. I need more Miracle Girl. So Mark already knows, like, a little bit about it. So I am going to say, hey, Mark.
What?
I am going to Young Life, and I am going to bring a frisbee.
A what?
A frisbee.
A what?
A frisbee.
Oh. Sue, I'm going to Young Life. Larry, I'm going to go to Young Life tonight.
Oh, yes. Now you do the same thing. Show us, Larry. Nice. Now you ask me. Leonardo is my name. A what?
A frisbee.
A what?
A frisbee.
Oh. Hey, Mark. I am going to Young Life, and I am going to bring an ice cream cone.
A what?
An ice cream cone.
A what?
An ice cream cone.
Oh. Hey, Larry.
Yes.
I'm going to Young Life.
Again.
I'm going to bring an ice cream cone.
A what?
An ice cream cone.
Show us. Nice. Yes. A what? A what? Hey, Mark, I am going to Young Life, you see?
Leonardo, you're going to Young Life.
Yes, I am. And I am going to bring an umbrella.
An umbrella?
An umbrella.
An umbrella?
Yes. Yes, an umbrella.
Okay, Larry.
Yes.
I'm going to Young Life tonight. I am going to bring an umbrella.
What?
An umbrella. An umbrella.
You got a really good form, I say. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Oh, okay. A what? A what?
An umbrella.
Oh. Hey, Mark.
Yes,
I am going to Young Life.
You're going to Young Life.
And I am going to bring a hula hoop.
A what?
I said a hula hoop.
Oh, what?
I said a hula hoop. Yeah, you bring it, Paul. Shake it, shake it, shake it. There you go. Hey, Sue, what are you bringing? A what? A what? Hey, Mark. I am going to Young Life, and I'm going to bring a pogo stick. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. So, crazy, fun, a lot of laughs. That is what Young Life is all about. And usually as leaders, there are great leaders there. There are great leaders that will be there to make fun of themselves in order to bring kids up and to take the focus off of them for a little bit. So that is what leaders up here do sometimes, is to bring the attention on us and not on the kids, because sometimes they get picked on a lot, so they just want to laugh at someone else, and we just take that, and we take it just like Jesus took it. So I gotta figure out where I am now. All right, so Young Life leaders poured into us constantly. I remember always going over to Dan's house and leaders showing up there during breakfasts and just showing up and just having a great time and just hanging out with leaders. And I remember they'd always come to my sporting events, and it was just a great time. Senior year, I finally went to camp. Camp was amazing. It was in Colorado. It was at Frontier Ranch, and it was just the most amazing experience of your life. People always say that camp is the best week of your life, and it was true that week. It was just the most amazing week I've ever had. I remember there was rappelling. There was a big old pool with a water slide going into it. We did a nature hike all the way up the mountain and then just stood there for a while. There was just so many different things. There was frisbee golf. There was a big old gym. Just everything there was just for you. You looked on the ground and there wasn't a speck of garbage. It just felt like paradise. And those leaders there at that camp did everything they could to just make it the best week of your life. And it was just the most amazing thing ever. The food was great and the message was even better. I remember the guy who talked there was just phenomenal. He was on the subjects of fathers and how Jesus our Lord is our Heavenly Father. And it was just so great, I remember, just because I heard it and I was just sitting there, because we would all sit there. It was like 300 kids that go to camp. We're just all sitting there just, and we're just listening to the same message. And the message of that was just amazing. I remember a verse he even used. It was 1 John 3:1. And it says, let me break it out. 1 John 3:1, it says, "See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us. As for he allows us to be called his children, and we really are. But the people who belong to this world don't know God, so they don't understand that we are his children." And I remember hearing that, and it just clicked for the first time. I always went to church. I always understood it, like, okay, Jesus died for me on the cross. I always understood that. I always accepted him into my heart, like long before that moment, but I never really realized that he was my daddy, that he was my father, and that he won't let me down, because they talked about so much how this guy is not going to let you down. He's not going to not show up to your basketball game. He's going to be there for you when you're hurting. He is going to always be there and care for you in even the darkest of moments. So I remember after talks, after we all sit down, we always do cabin time. And what cabin time is, you go around on the circle, you bring just the people you brought. And that was also the amazing thing about Young Life, is My leaders brought me to camp. I didn't get sent to camp and left with a counselor. I didn't even know that my leaders who knew me and who knew my heart were there, like, fighting right alongside me with all my worries. So we would all sit down, and some of the questions were, what's your dad like at home, or whatever. So we go around the circle. It's about 12 of us or so. And it was amazing to hear, just because I think in a room of 10 to 12 kids, there was two people who had a father in their life right now, and a father that was a whole family. That's what I'm talking about, a whole family, like, okay, husband, wife. They had that. Two people out of the 10 or 12 kids that were there had that. That's 80% didn't not have that. And I remember going around the circle and just hearing awful things, just like, oh, my dad's in prison. My dad, I haven't known forever. My dad beats me, and my dad doesn't show up to anything. He's there, but he's not there to me. That he just doesn't show up. He doesn't care about me. And it was just amazing to hear all the things. And I will never forget the person next to me, the person who went before me, was just saying these awful things, like, my dad's an alcoholic. He's not a nice father. He's whatever, this, that, and just so awful things. And then he looks at me, and he was just in tears, and then he's just like, and these are like high school guys, these are seniors, and he looks at me and he's like, well, on to a lighter subject, because I don't want to, yeah. So I was the last one to go, and I was done, because before that point, I didn't talk about this at all. None of my friends, none of my leaders knew ever what my father had done to us, and I just burst out in tears, and I was just on the bunk, and I remember I was crying, facing the pillow, and I talked for 10 minutes of everything like that has ever happened to me, and that my father abandoned me. He abandoned our family. He cheated on my mom. He had an affair, and that he was gay, and I remember just bursting out and just letting it all go, and it was amazing what happened after that. My leaders came alongside me, and they were like, you heard the talk, didn't you? You do have a father. You do have a heavenly father, and they came alongside me. We were supposed to go to some fun event, but I remember my leaders stuck with me and just walked with me, and they're like, hey, let's go take a walk. So that was the moment I will never forget. That was the moment where I turned my life around, and that I knew that I did have a father, and that I meant something in the world, and I meant something to people and to my family, and that I wasn't destined to end up that way. I continued Young Life after that point because I was a senior. I continued in Young Life. I went to a Bible college in North Central. I continued with Young Life in Blaine. I did that for two years just because I loved it. I knew I belonged here, and I knew that I wanted to help people who had the same situation that I did. And then from that point, 2 years went by, and one of my head leaders, the guy who I thought was the guy who on Father's Day I would give a card to. I'd give a card and write something in there for Father's Day and be like, hey, thanks for always being there with me. Thanks for being my dad in a sense. And thanks for just being a role model to me. He invited me to come alongside him in Cambridge here and be the wildlife director. And so I was wildlife director for like a year into it. And then another tragedy hit. I'll never forget the day. It was Halloween Club. We were getting ready to set up a big old obstacle course, drapes and everything. It was going to be like the best thing ever. And then I remember police officers coming down the hallway and asking for my father figure in my life, the person I thought would never let me down, and the person I thought was my dad, my like earthly dad or mentor at that moment. I remember they came in, escorted him in the thing, and I pointed to his office. I'm like, there's his office. If you need anything, let me know or whatever. And then he came out like 5 minutes later in handcuffs. I didn't know what to do at that point. I probably stood at the office for a half hour like, what do I do? Do I continue with club? Do I go to the court office? What? I have never been in this situation before. So what I did was I went to the court office. I'm like, hey, my boss and my good friend is in prison right now. I'd like to know what the charges are for, if there's bail or what, just trying to figure out information about this. And they're like, you know what, he has been charged with a third degree criminal sexual conduct. He had sex with a minor and he was going to be in jail for a long time. They're like, he's not coming out anytime soon. So I left, and I remember just in shock, I was just like, I don't know what to do. So I continued with club that day. I made the obstacle course and everything. People were like, oh, where is so-and-so today? And I'm like, he's not going to be here today, but we're going to have a lot of fun. I got a lot of great things planned for us today. And I just, for that moment, I did not want them to think about anything but themselves and for the focus to be on them, because that's what I love about Young Life, is just the focus is on you. It's not on me. It's not on him. Focus is on you. What can we do for you? No. So I remember that was a hard time in my life. I remember thinking after that point, because am I doomed to fail? Am I destined to cheat on my wife? Am I destined to never trust a man again? Am I, because the two people in my life, my father cheated. My other father figure that I thought totally was my father cheated. And I'm like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to do that to a woman. I don't want to do that. And then I remember digging in my Bible, because from that camp experience, I never forgot. And it's just like, you know what? I need to go to the Word. He is my Heavenly Father. He never lets me down. I need to figure this out. And I remember figuring it out and being like, you know what? I do have people in my life. And then it was just amazing. At that moment, it's like people just surrounded me, like different people of faith. And it was just like, are you kidding me? It's just like, I only had one father figure before, and he screwed up. And now you're just sending me with like a handful just to walk alongside me. And it was just one of the most wonderful experiences I have ever had in my life, just because it's just like, gosh, God is good. And it's just like, I always knew it, but it was just like, are you kidding me? God can do this. And it was just so amazing. And that is just something I definitely will never, ever, ever forget. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, and it talks a lot about mentors, and it talks a lot about you need to surround yourself with godly men and godly people in your life. And God provided for me. God did that for me. He brought me a whole bunch of people to fight alongside me, to fight this awful, awful thing. And he just sent people there to keep me accountable and to keep me there. I researched a lot of just basic things about youth and just fatherless homes. And I am a part of Young Life because I see the hurt. I have seen the hurt in myself, and I have seen it in other kids. Every week I go to camp, and I remember going to camp, and the same day I went or whatever, I'm like, well, maybe it's just my class, my people who I'm hanging out with. And I remember taking kids, went around the circle, it was the same kind of message about fathers, and it's just like one of them had a dad. One of them had someone in their life, and there was 12. So I'm like, oh my goodness. And that's what Young Life is. It is targets those kids that are hurting, the kids that need a mentor in their life, and us leaders walk alongside our kids and mentor to them and just show them God's love. And I saw these stats and I just thought it was interesting. 80% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. And I saw those numbers. I saw more numbers than that when I was at camp and when I was at Young Life. And it is just so hard to see that hurt and not do a thing about it. And that's why I do Young Life here in town. Is I do Young Life because I have a story. I have a great story. I have a story how I didn't have a father figure in my life, and how I was abandoned, and how I experienced hurt in my life. But then I see these other kids, and they experience way more hurt than I ever did. And it's just like, are you kidding me? And I can't just sit around and watch that. It's just like, there's still kids out there that don't know Jesus Christ. And as long as that's still there, I'm still going to be, in one way or form, always be supportive to Young Life and supportive to the churches and supportive to the ministries. We have so many churches here in Cambridge, but there's still kids out there. And it's just like, we don't have enough churches, apparently, just because there's still kids out there who don't know Jesus Christ. And it's just like, until we get every last one of them, I'm not going to be happy unless we do. So just like in 2 Corinthians, it was just so great just to read that and just be like, we need mentors in our life. We need people. I was even talking with Mark earlier this morning, and he is accountable to someone. He is accountable to someone, and he has a mentor in his life. And I just think for us personally, we all need to have someone in our life. I have a couple people in my life that I know I can go to, and I know they know my dirt and my story, and I know there's no secrets between us. And I want to be that to kids, but I realize that I need to have that first before I go to kids and have that. So that's actually it for me. I'm just going to pray and just kind of close this up, and then I think I have Kendall or Mark are going to come up later. Dear Lord, I just thank you so, so much for this privilege to come here and just speak my story, Lord. I thank you so much for Young Life and just the churches around here. I just thank you that they are pouring into kids constantly and that they are building just godly men and women of Jesus Christ. We just thank you so much for that. And we just bless each and every church, Lord. And we just thank you so much, especially for my involvement in Young Life and for my leaders, Lord. I can't imagine my life without it, Lord. And I can't imagine what I would have been going through without the support of a leader to come alongside me, for a friend to come alongside me, for a mentor to come alongside me, and for you, Lord, ultimately, for you to just support me and just carry me through it, even when I'm just not with it, Lord. You will never leave my side, and I just thank you for that. I just want to lift this day up to you and bless it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.